Natural or man-made inland water sources such as canals, lakes, rivers, and bays play a very crucial role in food security. But despite their importance, these ecosystems are poorly managed in many areas of the world. Their value and the roles they play in local economies, personal nutrition, religion, and even culture are arguably underrealized. But what are the issues? What has to be done now to preserve them? And what has to be done so that these waters are protected and used most efficiently as the world population continues to grow? These questions and more will be addressed next week at the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization during the Global Conference on Inland Fisheries in Rome, Italy. For insight on what to expect from the conference is Devin Bartley, a senior fish resource officer with FAO. Mr. Bartley, thank you for joining me.
You're welcome.
One of the themes during the conference deals with recorded information or the lack thereof on inland fisheries. What do we know and what don't we know about what is happening globally regarding inland fishery practices?
Well, we don't know a lot, although in some areas we have a pretty good idea of what's going on. Globally, we don't know how much is being harvested and we don't know what's being harvested. The real production could be about five times what is officially being reported to FAO. As far as what species are being caught, many countries just report fish. Over half the production reported from inland fisheries is not recorded as species. So we really don't know what's being caught. We also do know that about 60 million people throughout the world are dependent on inland fishing, and there are others even more involved in other parts of the value chain. And half of these people are women. Many are part-time, seasonal, and certainly most are small-scale fishers. We also do know that fisheries provide affordable and accessible source of nutrition to the developing world. And it's not only protein or the famous omega-3s that we hear so much about, but it's also minerals and micronutrients. A small fish about the size of your finger can provide a child's daily zinc and iron requirements. And we also know that freshwater ecosystems are under threat from habitat loss, pollution, and unsustainable fishing. Freshwater fish, in fact, are the most threatened group of vertebrates used by humans.
And what are the economic impacts of inland fisheries?
This is another difficult question because a very large part of the catch from inland fisheries is locally consumed and bartered. And in fact, it's not sold. The World Bank and FAO estimated that the global value is around $9 billion, but this doesn't include subsistence fishing, the fish just people catch and then eat at home, and it also doesn't include recreational fishing. Now, we do have some estimates in the monetary value in some areas, and that's pretty substantial. In the Mekong River, the catch's first value, what the fishermen sell, is over $3 billion. In Lake Victoria, one of the Great Lakes of Africa, it's valued at over $350 million. And in the West and Central Africa, it's valued at over $700 million. Recreational fisheries, this is another category that's not really reported to FAO. But in the U.S. and Europe, those fisheries, the sport fisheries, are valued at over $30 billion. Now, we associate recreational fishing with developed countries, Europe and the U.S., but in fact, it's becoming much more important now in developing countries as well.
What about the non-monetary impacts of inland fisheries?
In fact, very important. We can't forget the non-monetary value of inland fisheries. Many indigenous people around the world view inland aquatic ecosystems and their fish as part of their spiritual and cultural identity. Losing wetlands and fish disconnects these people from the land, from their ancestors, and from their gods. Now, rivers also link inland and marine environments. Water brings nutrients from the mountains to the oceans and supports coastal fisheries. In fact, a large amount of the nutrients you find in trees along salmon rivers actually comes from the decaying bodies of salmon. We also know that a lot of people feel the value of other water users, such as hydroelectric generation, irrigation for agriculture, and drinking for humans, has more value than inland fisheries. This is sort of true, but it really depends on how that value is calculated and who gets the value. We're pushing for win-win situations where people can have electricity, clean water, and fish.
It seems that there will be strong emphasis during the conference on the management of ecosystems of inland fisheries. Do you think the ways in which various ecosystems related to freshwater interact and influence each other are being adequately addressed in practice and policy?
Well, the answer here is definitely no. And this is a huge problem for inland fisheries. One of the biggest threats to inland fisheries is habitat degradation. And sadly, the agriculture and hydroelectric development, that is, dams, contribute to this problem. Many groups feel that the environmental impact and the socio and economic impact of these large dams has not been accurately assessed, and that, in fact, they will cause significant loss on the order of hundreds of millions of dollars to freshwater fishery resources. We really need inland fisheries to have a stronger voice in how water is being managed.
And who will be participating in the conference next week, and what do you hope will happen by week's end?
Yeah, well, we have about 200 inland fishery experts, indigenous peoples groups, nutritionists, and other users of freshwater ecosystems from around the world coming to Rome. And this is in large part thanks to our partner, Michigan State University, who's provided a significant amount of funding for the conference. During the conference, we hope to develop a set of recommendations based on the world's best information that we can then incorporate into our field projects and our normative work on inland fisheries here in Rome and also in our decentralized offices. And recognizing that we need political support to implement many of these recommendations, we hope to make the output from the conference available to higher level political and policy forum.
Mr. Bartley, thank you.
Thank you very much.